Bringing World to the Classroom, the podcast is supported by the U.S. Embassy in Bratislava. On the Slovak Spectator, this is Bringing World to the Classroom, seemingly unrelated stories that have shaped and continue to shape the world for the better. I'm your host, Peter Lopolet. We're living in a world that is very high-tech. All we hear from each side is we need IT experts, inventors, and scientists to be able to make even bigger progress. The thing is, it's hard to fall in love with science if there's nobody to inspire you. That's why I didn't become one. But my today's guest is a talented chemist, so he must love science, and that incentive to love chemistry must have come from somewhere. Erik Szabo, a researcher from Faculty of Natural Sciences at Comenius University in Bratislava, is my guest. When I was in school, I did not like science.
Mm-hmm.
That's because it was really boring. We did not do much experiments. Tell me, where exactly can we see chemistry in our daily lives?
So you wash your hands every day, and we use products that are, I don't know, pharmaceuticals or cosmetics, all these kind of things. And you and I, we are chemical factories, in fact. So as we sit here and as we speak, we are burning sugars and all the goodies that we ate this morning.
So I said, when I was in school, no experiments at all. But here, we're going to do one.
Yes.
We're not in a lab, but we're going to try to do one small.
The disclaimer, it's very harmless, right?
It's very harmless.
Yeah, I didn't bring any dangerous chemicals, right? We're safe, everybody.
So let's just, first of all, describe what we're going to need for this experiment. So I see
a bottle,
yes. Glass bottle.
Good. You have some observing skills.
Then I obviously can see water.
Yes, there is liquid, and I told you it's water, but
yeah.
It really liquid. Is a colorless liquid.
All right, so liquid.
Yeah, there are solutes inside that liquid, and there is at the moment it's a colorless solution.
Yeah.
But if I shake it right now, should I shake it so we can hear?
Yeah, let's shake it out.
Okay, so, and you tell what you see. What happened?
Oh, it's just turned blue.
Yeah, your observing skills.
All of a sudden.
Okay, perfect. So there is a dye. There is a blue dye. And that blue dye was in a colorless form before. And because I just shook the bottle. So do you have any ideas what happened? Is there anything else beyond that liquid inside the bottle? There's air.
Oh, air. Yeah.
Yeah.
Obviously.
So there's a chemical reaction between the colorless dye and air. Right. So
that was an easy question, but I failed. Okay. So, the liquid, air, solutes. That's
yes. Yes. There's a solute and the air turns the dye blue. And if we wait a little bit, then there's, glucose, which bleaches the blue to colorless, and we can repeat the cycle.
So very easy. Where did you learn that experiment? Was it in school?
I cannot remember doing this experiment myself when I was little, but in fact, it is one of very classic experiments. Very easy to make, very easy to bring with you somewhere.
Just to make friends, you can bring
the
bottle.
Yeah, sure. You can bring the experiment is called the blue bottle. So you can bring your blue bottle, you know, which is the cool kid with the blue bottle.
Do you remember your first experiment?
I can remember being very fond of batteries. So probably one of my first experiments involved putting a battery in salty water or something like that and observing the bubbles, or I don't know. I liked colors very much. So yeah, you have these chemists that like explosions. I was not one of those, but I liked colors. So yeah, it was something to do with colors.
When I was getting ready for this podcast, I tried to Google something about you. The first thing I found was that you are a footballer, but you are not. But obviously, there's another Erik Szabo who is.
It's a secret identity.
And that's and the second thing I found is that in 2002, at least I hope it was you. You won a silver medal at the International Chemistry Olympiad in the Netherlands.
That's correct.
That was in high school.
That was in high school.
What was that experiment or your project about?
Okay, so there was, yes, there was another silver medal in 2003. I'm not bragging. It's I've got two. So Chemistry Olympiad is a competition. It's an academic competition for high school students. And it's not a project-based competition. We don't do projects, but we solve tasks, theoretical and experimental tasks. So it's just pen and paper and calculator.
You studied also in England, right? Mm-hmm.
Correct.
In high school.
Yes.
That was just for 1 year.
Yes.
And did you take up chemistry there as well?
Yes, I did.
So now my question is if you can compare teaching chemistry in a Slovak school and in an English school, is there any difference?
As I remember, I was really shocked by how much simpler the chemistry classes were in England. I think the difference was they were not so much concentrated on teaching kids the facts. Rather, they thought that, you know, it's the principles and the language that are more important. Our students knew many more facts compared to English students. But on the other hand, and we see it nowadays, you know, facts are something that you can look up. You don't learn the whole dictionary, but without the grammar, without knowing the rules of the language, it's useless to learn a dictionary. And of course, what I really appreciated about the English system was that besides the subjects that I chose, we also had compulsory subjects which were about soft skills. So something that I never really thought about here in Slovakia, things like presenting and speaking and discussing, debating and so on and so on. Things that are really important. So our kids, many times they have the knowledge, but they sometimes struggle with putting it across.
Today you are a researcher.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the only thing you do. You basically also educate young students, possibly future chemists.
Yes.
Why did you decide to help them?
I mean, being a student, very much involved in the Chemistry Olympiad, the whole academic year revolves around various rounds of competition. And then when I finished high school, I wanted to stay involved. Of course, the role changed. And now I'm a mentor. I'm the one who is mentoring the younger ones, and I'm a teacher. And so I'm showing them the skills and the all the tricks that I learned years ago.
So do we have a lot of talented students, chemists or other scientists?
We certainly do. We certainly do. Actually, Slovakia has got a lot to be proud about in this area, because last year, in 2019, the Chemistry Olympiad International Round was held in Paris, and we actually achieved a great result. There's an unofficial list ranking countries, and we ended up 8th. Which is pretty good. I mean, considering that at the top you have huge, huge countries like the US and Russia, and also, so of course, you have Korea and all the Asian countries, which really have a very different system of schooling. So Slovakia being the top 8th country at the International Chemistry Olympiad was quite something. Yeah. And we have a lot of talent.
You're also working on an app.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me more about this app? It's about chemistry, right?
Yes. It's very recent for the Chemistry Olympiad. We realized that we need to help a little bit to those students that would like to do a little bit of extra work. And sometimes they just don't have the support from their teachers, or maybe they do, but it's not so much so attractive. And we decided making an app that would be kind of fun and motivating, and also keeping the track of your progress, etc., that could bring chemistry closer to those that are already interested, but, you know, maybe just need to cross that barrier and dive deeper into some topic.
These are some of the things you do apart from your research. But I want to shortly talk about your research. What is your research about?
Okay, so, well, going back to this bottle that we have here, which goes from blue to colorless by itself, and then as I shake it, it goes, I can do it now, it goes back to blue, right?
Uh-huh.
So that shaking part is a little bit of cheating, but we do have chemical reactions that turn one color and then other color, and then they go back to the first color, and then they go back to the second color. So we have chemical oscillators, and that's what I do. I mean, it's applied chemical kinetics. If you think about it, actually no molecule has any idea that they are a part of this large scale pattern. And actually, if you pour this kind of solution on a dish, it forms structure, a pattern, which is very regular. So out of nowhere, a homogeneous solution or a homogeneous medium turns patterned, the kind of pattern that you see maybe in the sky, the stripes. So no molecule of water vapor in the sky has no idea that it's a part of a larger structure. That's what I do. Dynamics of complex systems.
All right. So that's your research. And you're working at Comenius University, but you have an experience from America because you...
Yes. I was a postdoc.
So what did you learn there?
In fact, I worked in the same area that I worked before. That's why they hired me, because they knew that I already had several years of experience with chemical oscillators. And the group where I worked, they concentrate on the topic of artificial life, and they were trying to use the properties, the self-organizing properties of chemical oscillators, to build some kind of protocells or some systems, artificial systems that would mimic some properties of living system, and self-organization is a part of that. So that's why they hired me. Yeah.
So is it easier to be a scientist in America than in Slovakia?
Some things are easier. Like, for example, anytime I needed some glassware, the university, there was a shop where I just turned up and took a shopping basket, and that was easy. Of course, so here when I want something, I have to make orders and go through a lot of paperwork. But I would say that in general, science in the US is very competitive.
And how do you perceive Slovak science?
Compared to the size of our economy, I think that everybody knows the problem, that we really don't invest as much money into science as we should. But saying that, I have to also say that it doesn't mean we just need to invest more money and everything else will come by itself. I think there are plenty small things that we could do, and we could do more self-reflection, support young scientists more, and we could try to attract more scientists from the outside. We're kind of closed at the moment, I think.
And there's been efforts to bring Slovak scientists back to Slovakia. Do you think Slovak scientists find it attractive to come back to Slovakia and do science here or do research?
Speaking in general, we really have to take into account the fact that it's not only about the prestige of your team, but many people who were born in Slovakia come back to Slovakia because they feel like it's their home, and if they can have their career, which is decent, maybe could be better elsewhere, but at the same time, they can have a decent career and be at home with maybe their families, maybe their friends, the town where they grew up, where they also can combine their professional life with being useful in other ways. Then it's a, you know, maybe Slovakia is attractive.
And if you got a chance or an offer from abroad, to go there and do research, would you go or would you rather stay here?
Yeah, it's personal. I mean, in of course, in my case, the decision has been made, and currently I'm not in the stage of sending out applications and looking for an alternative. So at the moment, I have made the decision that
you're gonna do science here.
I'm gonna do science and be useful here and give something back to the community where I was made.
All right. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you for having me.
Before you go,
yes,
just shake up that bottle once again and make it blue.
Is it blue? Not yet. Yeah, it's getting there. So what color is it?
Blue.
Wow, you're a scientist. Congratulations. Did you like that experiment?
Yeah, I loved it. It's very easy.
It's very easy.
Can I try it? Science was our today's topic. Thank you to Eric Szabo for joining me. I hope he inspired at least one of you, dear listeners, and you will take up science and become a scientist. And sorry for the noises you probably heard throughout the podcast, but that was our colleagues here at the Slovak Spectator. Anyway, if you like bringing world to the classroom, spread the word and tell everyone about it. You'll find each episode on Podbean and other streaming services, or go to spectator.sk and have a listen. I'm your host, Peter Dlhopoulos, and I'll be back with a new episode soon. Take care.